In case my sermon today is boring or you lose interest, I'm going to be putting this out on the pulpit. It is a can of Amy's Organic Soup's alphabet soup, and it's fat-free. There is a reason I'm doing this. NRA, NEA, USA, USSR, FCC, UCC. It's an alphabet soup, isn't it? Some of the abbreviations I just cited have one clear, distinct meaning. USA is United States of America. USSR is Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. Others have had meanings that have changed over time. So the NRA, which is now known as the National Rifle Association, during the New Deal era was the National Recovery Administration. And the FCC, well, we know it's First Congregational Church, but it's also the Federal Communications Commission. UCC, which is the name of our denomination, the United Church of Christ, at least according to Google, when I've searched it, is more commonly known as the Uniform Commercial Code. I'd like to throw out another set of letters, and that would be CCC. Now, many of you may remember that one from history, along with the National Recovery Administration. The CCC was a civilian conservation corps, and people did a lot of really good work building roads and parks and taking care of our natural environment. But that was then. Today, it is the Children's Community Corner. And the kids came up with that. They had a lot of discussion last week. Did not hear from any adults, but I heard from the kids. And they had a variety of different ideas, some of which were frankly out there and will stay out there. But they had this idea and they wanted some alliteration, and I'm glad that they didn't want to be cute the way marketers are and suggest using the letter K, because you can imagine what KKK would suggest. We're not going there. They wanted something that they could remember. They wanted something that said what they were hoping for from our children's formation ministry. They wanted something that said, you're welcome here, you're gonna have friends here, you're gonna learn about Jesus and God. And that all sounds great, doesn't it? Now, church school is something that many of us know that we knew for a long time, or it was called Sunday school. Now, when I went to Sunday school long ago, we sat at desks arrayed in rows. And you can imagine how I felt about that. I love to learn, but having a sixth day of school every week really didn't resonate with me. We do things differently now, and things change over time. And sometimes we're scared of change, because the familiar is dispensed with. That doesn't mean that the familiar isn't important and it isn't good, but sometimes we need to mix things up. So our hope in using this godly play curriculum, which has been used around the country for many years in a lot of different churches and different denominations, is that we can mix things up and excite the kids and hopefully get them to be here every week. But it's not just the children who need to learn. We grown-ups need to do it too. And so today we are going to be spending a little time with this passage from the second Peter letter. Now, hands up, how many of you know and love this book of the Bible? That's what I thought. You should feel okay about that. This is one of those short epistles that's tacked on at the end of your Bibles. And indeed, it was one of the last books to be included in the Bible. There was a lot of discussion and debate in the early church about whether this should be considered canonical, whether it should be afforded the status of scripture. I cannot tell you who wrote it. Some commentators suggest it was Peter, and they make a good case for why it was Peter. Some commentators say it could not be Peter, and it was part of what we call a Petrine school, and they make good arguments in favor of their case. I don't know if it was written in the first century or the second century, but I do know this. It ultimately was included in the Bible, and it has stuff that we need to hear. Now, if you read your newsletters, I believe you would have read a piece from Nan, and this scripture passage was cited. And it talks about things that we, as people in the Christian faith, need to do. Something of a spoiler, if you continue to read this letter, you'll see it is not so uplifting. It's a bit of a scolding letter. It's warning against false teachers, and particularly against heresy, such as denying the second coming of Christ. Now, I don't know what you all think about the second coming of Christ, whether you believe it's going to happen or not. But I will tell you this. In the first and second century, not that long after Jesus had died, people were already asking questions. They'd read the Bible, they'd heard sermons, and they were looking around and asking, where is he? When is Jesus coming back? And then the church had to grapple with the whole idea of the parousia and that God's time is different than our time. If we deny the second coming of Christ, we're denying the fact that God will return, that God does care about us, that there will be a reckoning, and that justice will ultimately prevail in the universe. Also, if we deny the second coming, what else can we deny? Perhaps we can fall prey to a heresy like Gnosticism. We wouldn't call it that now, but that's what it would be, where we say that the body and the spirit are completely divided, that they can't be together. And then we might deny that Jesus was human and divine. And then we've got a book of what? Nostrums to do good. That's not much of a faith system. That's not something on which to bet your life. Now, we need to really pay attention to this text. And John, thank you for doing a great job of reading it. And I don't know about you, but the first time I sat down with this text, which I have never preached on, and honestly, I have never preached on 2 Peter. Not in my almost 10 years here, not when I was in Concord, Massachusetts, not when I was riding the circuit for the Episcopal Diocese of Massachusetts, not for the Mass Conference of the UCC. This is my first time engaging with this text. It's dense, and if you don't read it really closely, it can be kind of confusing. And different translations use different words. They talk about being partakers of the divine nature. I'm going to get a little bit particular here with you. The word divine in Greek is theos, and it is only used twice in the New Testament. And it's kind of broad and vague. And the suspicion is that Peter was talking to a group of Gentiles who had become Christians and was using language that they would understand. What does it mean to be a partaker of the divine nature? It doesn't mean that you have the divine nature, that you are the divine nature. The author of this letter is not saying that becoming a Christian means you become God. But we are talking about having an intimate relationship with God. And one of the interesting things about the New Testament is that we have the Gospels and we have the the epistles, and there seem to be two arguments that are being made. Sometimes the suggestion seems to be that God does everything, that we need to just sit back and he will make us holy. And then there are passages like this one from 2 Peter, which suggests, no, we have to get up and we have to do stuff to make ourselves holy. But that's the problem when we pick and choose what we're going to read, rather than reading the entire story. The truth is a combination. And you'll recall last week that I talked about our needs to open our hearts and our minds to God, to let God in. We need to create space for the Holy Spirit to move within us. And then we need to respond. And it's by, in using the words of N.T. Wright, that we will supplement our faith with virtue, and our virtue with knowledge, and our knowledge with self-control, and our self-control with patience, and our patience with piety, and our piety with family affection, and our family affection with love, that we grow deeper in faith and closer to God. Now, when I first read this passage, and I suspect you may have thought this too, A leads to B, and B leads to C, and so on and so forth, until we get to the end of the sequence. But one of the techniques that was used back then, it was known in Greek as sorites, and it was simply a list of things, like the ones I just read, that don't necessarily have a logical sequence. It simply matters that they are together and that they lead to a final conclusion. And did you notice the last item that John read was the word love? And the last word here in Wright's translation is love. And I was looking at the New International Version. Last word there was love. We could use more of that in our world, couldn't we? And it's not simply a Hallmark card sentiment. Let's all be lovey-dovey. Let's all get along. But there's something deeper and more demanding in that love. And we remember the love that God showed us in Jesus. That was self-sacrificing. It was complete. It was total. That's the kind of love we are called to share with one another. By having that kind of love, we can partake in the divine spirit. This year, in the coming months, we're going to make some adjustments and some changes. I'm not planning to talk to anybody about taking out the pews. If we do that, I will be gone the next week, and I hope I can get a good letter of recommendation from you. But there will be ways we tinker around the edges. We're going to have the kids here in worship more often. And one Sunday a month, they're going to be here for the entire service, and they'll participate in worship. They're going to be using this new curriculum. My hope is, and I'm going to keep saying it, that more of you will volunteer to go downstairs to help Nan and Ashley. And I've been beating this drum for many years, but I really would like everybody to strike the word basement from their vocabulary. Now, there are people in this church, and I'm looking at you, Gordon and Barbara, who remember when the Sunday school, the church school, whatever you called it back in the 30s and 40s, met upstairs in the balcony. And at some point, it moved down below us. And shortly after I came here, one of the things we did was install new carpeting, and we painted the walls. But that was almost 10 years ago. And what does it say to our children and their parents when we send their kids downstairs to the basement? I don't know about you and your basements, But I don't have anything particularly valuable that I care about stored in mine. I got a lot of stuff down there, don't get me wrong. The language we use matters. It counts. And sometimes we need to experiment with it. And perhaps the kids will come up with a different name than Children's Community Corner. But it is really important to me that our children own what is going on downstairs. I would like to say that we would have a program going on that's so exciting that the kids drag their parents to church because they want to be here every week. But the truth is, we need to have parents, and I thank you, parents, who brought your kids here today. Parents have to communicate to their children that church is important, that it's exciting, that you're going to get something out of it. You all know that our children are going to get their values from somebody, somewhere. And if you want to leave it up to social media and the internet, God bless you and God help you. I think we have something better to offer here. And I know in some ways we've got a tough road to hoe. Christianity doesn't exactly have a good rep today. And actors all across the theological spectrum are doing their best to tell the world to go take a look at something else. And I think that is a shame. Our world now more than ever needs to hear about the God who loves us, the God who gave up everything to be with us. I hope you agree with me on that. So that brings me back to my can of soup. I suspect everybody here remembers alphabet soup from when they were a kid. And most likely it was Campbell's. Right? Now, it may be because I was shopping at the co-op when I remembered to get this. And maybe the Price Chopper, where I'd been the day before, would have had a wider selection. But the co-op's got a pretty good array of soups. And I had to look and look hard to find the alphabet soup. I think alphabet soup is pretty neat. When you were a kid, you remember stirring the letters around? Or maybe looking at the bowl when it was put in front of you and seeing that a word was actually spelled out? That was fun. And it was also a really sneaky way of helping me to learn the alphabet. Now, I remember the orthography. You know those? You remember? Did you have those in your classrooms? The letters, the capital and the small letter, and you know they were beautifully, beautifully written. And there's no way on God's green earth my letters were ever going to look like those letters. But I remember. There are different ways to learn, and one doesn't have to shut out another. They can be complementary. But this can of soup is accessible. And this can of soup is like the deposit of our faith. It's like the Bible and the traditions we have. It's all in here. And all we have to do is open it up and pour it into a can, heat, stir a little bit, and it'll be ready for us to eat. I can't tell you if any words are going to be spelled when we make the can of soup. But my hope is that we will go to our kitchens And we'll come to our church and we'll engage with what's there. So, in this coming year, we'll continue to talk about the three C's. We'll continue to talk about different parts of the Bible. I'll give you a heads up now. During Advent, we are not going to be spending our time with John in the desert. Kind of preached on him a lot over the last few years. We're going to spend our time with a letter to the Romans, which happens to be the lectionary text for this Advent. But we're going to do some different things. We're going to schedule some adult education. We're going to consult all of you to figure out what time works for you. And I hope you'll come. So that's all I have to say this morning. I'm excited about the new year, and I hope you are too. And I hope that you'll communicate some of your enthusiasm to our children, because I know they will to you. And we'll remember, though we're not all together all the time here, we are part of one community. Thanks be to God.